So we're continuing in our summer theme, breaking down our vision. Our vision statement is being a church visibly connected to the heart of Christ by actively bringing hope to the community through serving, transforming, and reproducing others to the same heart and actions. Last month we talked about being visibly connected to the heart of Christ. And then this month we're moving on to the next part of our vision statement. We're focusing on hope, that we want to be visibly connected to the heart of Christ by actively bringing hope to the community. So we're taking the five Sundays here in June, and we're just kind of looking at hope and looking at different biblical definitions of hope and how to share it. Today's not so much what it is and how to share it. Today's a little more introspective. It's what it is, what does it mean to us on an individual level. So we're kind of veering from my pattern of the sermons previously and probably the ones coming up, but this one just felt like we need to talk about what is hope to me? What does it matter to me? And that's going to help us in being able to share that. Because if it's not important to you, then it's not something you're going to want to share. But if you're reminded of what hope means to you, then I think that's going to be more inspirational to us wanting to share hope, wanting to go out and share. And then maybe you can review the first three messages with some of the tools there of sharing. So today we're talking about security, we're talking about trust, we're talking about courage. You know, we don't have really good examples of security in the world we live in. Have you ever put your trust in a folding chair? You trusted in the security of that chair. And I believe it's happened to most of us. How many of us have sat down on a folding chair and it collapsed on us? And that security just disappeared. It was out the window. And then the next time you sat down in a folding chair, you were a little more careful. You kind of put your weight into it incrementally, just in case. You know, maybe you've put your hope in someone's suggestion when you've been out to eat at a restaurant and they said, oh, you got to try this dish. And so you get it and you try it and you learn that you shouldn't be so quick to trust that person's palate again. You've lost some security in that hope that they were right. You know, or maybe you needed a tool, guys. Father's Day. Or maybe, ladies, you just needed that 51st pair of shoes. And there was a big clearance sale coming up, and you'd been waiting on this. Guys at the hardware store and ladies at the shoe store. And you get to the hardware store, guys, and you're ready to buy this new toy, tool. And you've got a project at the house that's just been waiting for this tool to do it right. And so you get to the hardware store only to find out that the tool you've been waiting to go on sale is sold out by the time you get there. And it's a clearance sale, which means it's gone. So your next choice is the replacement model, which is more expensive than the other model was when it wasn't on sale. And you leave disappointed. No security. Or ladies, you get to the shoe store, same story, different product. You've got a pair of shoes that you've just been waiting to buy, and you've got a whole outfit that you can't wear because you're waiting on just the right pair of shoes in today's day. And you get there, and they're all out of your size. Oh, they've got the size before yours. They've got the size after yours. Ladies, is this an accurate picture? And you leave disappointed. Your hope wasn't secure. What you trusted in fell through. Or on a serious note, we hope our house is secure or our car is secure. But those of you who have been broken into and robbed, you know that hope wasn't as secure as you thought it was. It's hard to put your trust back into that hope after that's happened. I've talked to many people after their house or their car has been burglarized, broken into, they've been robbed, and across the board, you'll hear them say, I just don't feel safe anymore. I don't feel secure. They don't trust in the security of that hope of safety, not the hope they once had, and they fear. We put our money away in Social Security and 401ks, and this is going to speak a lot to this crowd. We hope that it will provide financial security in the years after we retire. But those of you who watched your retirement get cut in half when the stock market tanked years ago, you realize that wasn't very secure. And you couldn't put your trust in that anymore. And you were worried then and you're worried now because what you had, what was secure, is not secure. And you lost hope. And so you were discouraged. You're worried. We hope that we have a secure job, that we're secure in our job, and we trust in that hope. And the company that you've worked for 15 years, they do layoffs, and you're part of the layoffs. And you're discouraged. Or maybe you've hoped that in a relationship, that relationship was secure. Either a friend or a family member, a boyfriend or girlfriend, a husband or a wife. And you put your trust in them. But then something happens and that trust is broken and the security of that relationship is compromised. And your hope disappears. And you're cautious. You're cautious to put your trust in anyone for a while. You know, we don't have good examples of true, secure hope that we can put our trust in. I think a lot of us struggle with hope with God because we have a hard time believing in its security. Because we've got so many other examples of things we put our hope in, we put our trust in, and they fall through. And this is the one thing in our life that's not supposed to fall through. And I think a lot of us, we're still reluctant. We're still a little careful there because of the examples and the patterns we see in so many other areas. We have a hard time trusting that our faith in God, our hope in God, will not let us down like the other hopes we have. So let's talk about this, security. The security that God puts in the hope that He gives us. Hope is secure. It involves trust. And it gives courage. Hebrews chapter 6, starting with verse 13. We're going to kind of camp out here in Hebrews 6 for a few minutes. It says, when God made His promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, He swore by Himself. I think that is awesome. I love this little passage because God wanted to assure Abraham of what this promise was. And we're going to get to the promise in a minute. But He wanted to assure him that it was solid, it was secure. And so God looked for something to swear by. And I love this passage because He looked for something to swear by and He couldn't find anything greater than Himself. So He swore by Himself. I just think that's just awesome. God wanted Abraham to know that his hope was secure. And He was giving him something solid, something secure to lean on. He wanted to swear by something to give Abraham courage. So he swore by himself. Continuing what we're going on. So when God made this promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. So God was telling Abraham that the promise that he was going to give him was that Abraham was going to have many descendants. He was going to raise up a nation out of Abraham. But at the time, Abraham had zero descendants. He was not a father yet. He was not Father Abraham like the song we sing. Yet God wants Abraham to understand that his hope is secure. This hope in God's promise is secure. So God swears by himself to give Abraham security in his hope. Let's write this down. The security and hope, the security and the hope God gives is in the source. We need to be reminded of that. The security of the hope that God gives, it is in the source. It is in God. So when God gives us a hope and it's from Him, the security of that hope is that it's from Him. And we take this from this conversation between Abraham and God and the Hebrews writer picking up on this, that God couldn't find anything else greater to swear by, so He swore by Himself because that was the source of His security. That was the source of Abraham's security in that hope. God has a track record that should give security to the hope He gives us. We're told that Abraham waited patiently and it happened. He received what was promised. Many of us have seen that. We've read about it in the Bible. We've experienced it in our own lives. God has a track record. So when God says, this is what I'm going to do, there's security in that. God is able to do what he says he'll do, and he's faithful. Continuing in verse 16, it says, men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, that is God's word and God's oath, in which it is promised, or it's in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. Quickly, the writer of Hebrews flips us into the modern day, into the readers of his letter. And it's fitting for them 2,000 years ago. It's fitting for us today. Using Abraham as an example, that God swore by himself, gave security to that hope, showed him that promise was real. It was something you could trust in, something that would give you courage. And the writer flips it right around on us and talks about the hope we have in God. It's confirmed by his word. It's confirmed by an oath. And God does not lie. Those of us who have fled to take hold of the hope that we have in Christ, the writer says that he wants us to be greatly encouraged. The word there for it's greatly encouraged, to be strongly encouraged. It's not just, that's not something that was added by the NIV translator or by the NASB translator or New King James translator. That's something that is in the Greek. And it's stronger than just encouragement. The Hebrews writer wanted to let us know that this is great encouragement. It is strong encouragement. Encourage means, a lot of times we separate encourage from kind of the root of its word. Encourage means to inspire courage, to give courage. Sometimes that just seems bigger than to encourage someone. Encourage someone and you're thinking, I'm making their day better. I'm making them feel good. Well, if we think about it at a couple shelves higher, we're giving courage to someone when we encourage them. So let's write this down. The hope God offers results in giving great courage. It greatly encourages us. You know, who couldn't use great courage? You don't have to be the cowardly lion to want this. I mean, I'm sure there are many of us here who have moments of regret. Those moments of, I wish I would have done this. Or I wish I would have said this. Or if I would have taken this risk. I think a lot of our I wish I would have regret moments, I think a lot of them come because we lacked courage to take that step. The hope that God gives us great courage. So how do we connect to this security? How do we connect to this courage? Well, it's through trust. Trust in God is the only way to connect to this hope. Trust in God is the only way to connect to this hope. So we continue and we finish up our section in Hebrews 6 with verses 19 and 20. It says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. I love this. And you guys have heard me bring this up at various times. And I can't get away from this scripture. I love it. We have this hope, and it is an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters in this inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf and has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. It goes in past the curtain. Many of you would remember that when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain was torn from top to bottom. And this anchor that is our hope went into, and if you can just picture a visual picture of just this huge anchor dropping into the inner sanctuary, and we're connected to that, and that's our hope. That's the security of it. That's the courage that we have, because we have that, we can get that close to God. Hope in God through Jesus gives us a center point to anchor our lives. That's security. No matter what direction we're pulled in, if we have this anchor, we're solid. Security here on earth, stable, solid. And we have a secure future waiting for us in heaven. When we look at the stability that comes through this trust in his hope, and in the hope of God, and how greatly that encourages us. Such stability allows us to take courageous risks in faith. This is my personal measurement for spiritual maturity. You know, you can know a lot about the Bible, or you can have perfect church attendance for 10 years. But a mature faith, from what I read in the Bible and what I see in the Bible, those that are commended for faith, is that a mature faith is not a safe faith. A mature faith is a faith that is strong enough and stable enough that you're willing to take risks in your faith. You trust in the security of God, and so you're willing to take an extra step. You're encouraged. You're filled with courage, great courage, and you're willing to take a step out. Let's look at some areas in our life where we might need stability and courage that comes from trusting in the hope of God. We're going to look at three scenes from Matthew's gospel. First scene comes in Matthew chapter 8. It says, when he got into the boat and his disciples followed him, without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake. And so the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. He replied, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed, and they asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. You know, we might could use the stability and secure and courage that comes from trusting God, trusting in the hope of God during dangerous times. You know, the intimidating storms of life. We face these times in our lives from time to time, the stormy times, the times of uncertainty, the scary times, the times where the wind is tossing you all around and the waves are crashing into your boats. And you just don't know how you're going to survive. You know, the dangerous times in life. God's hope is enough to give us security and courage even in those times. We just have to trust him. And that's how we connect to the security. That's how we connect to this kind of courage, this level of courage. We trust in the hope of God. Jesus says, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? That's what Jesus asks the disciples. Are you going through a life storm right now? Are you dealing with a dangerous time? Trust in the hope of God. Don't be afraid. After the storm was calm, the disciples said, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. You know, that's the power of God. That's the power of the hope that he offers us. Sometimes we forget that our God is a storm calmer, that the wind and the waves have to obey him. Maybe you aren't in a dangerous time right now. Maybe that doesn't speak to you. Maybe you're in a time of need right now. Turn to Matthew chapter 9, just a couple pages away. It says, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, listen to this question, do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you trust? Yes, Lord, they replied. And he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. And their sight was restored. Times of need. The times when you are calling out to God for assistance. Times of need. Maybe that's where you are right now. Maybe you're in a position where you're saying, God, I really need your help right now. Something's missing. Maybe you need guidance and you feel blind about a decision that is before you. Maybe you need wisdom and you need your eyes to be open to see what the wise choice is in your situation. Maybe you're struggling financially and you just don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. You don't see any hope in your situation. And in these times, I believe that Jesus asks us the same question that he asked these two blind men. Do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you trust in the security that I'm about to give you? Do you trust in this hope? Do you trust in the courage that is going to come? Do you believe that I can do this? Because if we don't trust, if we don't believe that he can, then we're not going to find the security that's available in this hope. We're not going to find the courage. And that's the moment of truth. When he asks that question. And that's where we find whether we're going to find security, whether we're going to find courage, because it's the answer to that question. If we answer as the blind men answered, yes, Lord, then we find security. We find courage. Yes, Lord. We come into contact with the hope of God through trusting him. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Yes, Lord. You know, maybe you're not in a time of need right now. Maybe you're not in a dangerous time. Maybe neither of those apply to you. Maybe the third category is where you are. Let's read about this in Matthew chapter 14. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Take courage. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, let me come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So maybe it's not needy times or dangerous times. Maybe for you right now, it's a growing time. Maybe you're in a growing time, a time when your faith is being stretched. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water. Maybe you're at a time where your trust in the hope of God means being courageous enough, being secure enough in your faith to say this to God. I'm ready to step out of the boat. Just say the word. Count me down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. In my experience with God, when I let him know that I'm ready to grow, when I have this moment where Peter says, if it's you, tell me to come. When I have those moments where I tell God I'm ready to take the next step, every time, come. Come, take courage, trust in my security, come. Now, sometimes we find ourselves in the same place in our faith that the only way to get closer to God is to be willing to step out of the boat. Because God is standing out on the water where only steps of faith will get you closer to him. Maybe that's where you are right now. Maybe you need the courage that comes from trusting in the hope of God to take that next step of faith. Maybe you need the security that comes from trusting in the hope of God to take that next faith risk that God is wanting to see you take. You know, we live with this trust in God. And we live by this trust and this hope of God. And the only way we can do this is by fixing our thoughts on Jesus. That's the only way we can live this way. You don't get this kind of trust, this type of trust, by having your thoughts on the worries of this world. Peter worried and he began to sink. He began to sink. Thinking about it past tense. You don't get this type of trust having your thoughts on the fears of this world. Don't be afraid, he tells them when he calms the storm. Why are you so afraid? I was here. You don't get this type of trust by having your thoughts fixed on success of this world. You don't get this kind of trust by having your thoughts fixed on you. You get this type of trust by having your thoughts fixed on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 3 says, therefore, holy brothers, we share in the heavenly calling. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. He is faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all of God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future, but Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. Moses was a servant. Jesus is the son. And we are his house. If we hold on to our what? Courage. And the what? The hope that we boast. So let's write this down. I have hope because I'm God's house. We fix our thoughts on Jesus. And we have hope because we are God's house. This crowd would probably remember this. Do you remember the house that Jack built? This is the house that Jack built. This is the house that God built. I have hope because I am God's house. I am secure in my hope because Jesus is the builder of this house. He is putting my life together. He is putting my faith together. That's why I have security, because Jesus is building my house. I am courageous in my hope because Jesus is the faithful son over this house. Jesus is the son and he's faithful. And that's why I'm courageous, because he is the builder of this house.